Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're having a problem here. Do you hear anything? Oh man, I ain't had no backup. Okay. It's 90 minutes. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry if anybody can hear me. It's technical difficulty beyond my comprehension. We'll definitely do this show next week. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Okay, I'm going to apologize again because the show is on, but the show isn't on. We're going to do the show again next week. That thing didn't even come on.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought. We had some technical difficulties tonight. I'm going to just review a little bit of the show. I guess I'm going to have to do it again next week because we lost about 12 minutes of the show so far. Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the cost of illegal immigration. Just what is the financial, social, and political cost of immigration? I want to start with a quote from 1 Timothy 5:8. Timothy is from the Bible, King James Version. It says, but if any man, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, a person who does not acknowledge your God. So, doesn't the Pledge of Allegiance say one nation under God with liberty and justice for all? For the believer, that is a hell of a analogy, since a man who does not acknowledge the Creator behaves worse unbeliever. Unbelievers
are perceived as people living outside of the way prescribed for man. The unbeliever is subject to do most anything. Right? He's a violator, right? In the hood, we just say, a man who does not provide for his family is either broke, or he ain't bleep, his absent father, or not being a man or a provider. To have and neglect is egregious. What is a government that does this? Because it kind of makes you think about government. The government is supposed to be a provider and a protector. Same thing that a man is supposed to be, the head, right? Government is the head of the nation. That's a protector and a provider. When government is not protecting and providing, they are predators. Or, as we said, they ain't bleep, or, you know, they're not being a government for the people, by the people. Nobody would have a government design that's not helping them, right? So anyway, from the New York Times, Mayor Adams says migrant influx will cost New York City $12 billion for those who, you know, might be wondering the same thing that I'm wondering. That's just New York. They said they raised the estimate as migrants continue to arrive by the thousands. Fox News says Democrat mayors begging Biden for help with migrant surge. They reject the $1.4 billion in aid and want $5 billion instead. Those all mayors of Chicago, Denver, Houston, Los Angeles, and New York have requested $5 billion to aid in the surge of migrants. Just that right there is interesting, because these guys are asking for money for you, for immigrants, but not for a Joe citizen. And they got billions to give out. From the Hill, a group of more than 100 U.S. mayors voiced support for a supplemental request with more immigration funding. So, in a Tuesday letter, mayors from all over the U.S. said President Biden's $1.4 billion request to Congress to help at the state and local level in supplying shelter and services for migrants, they call them, is not enough. They said, although the $1.4 billion is welcome, they need more badly. That's interesting how things went from being illegal immigrants crossing the border to migrants. As a migrant, you usually don't think of a person that's migrating. That's just me moving from one place to another. It doesn't, you don't really think of them as breaking the law or being somewhere illegal. But I'm seeing the language is starting to change the way they describe this movement from the southern border. Now they're migrants. They're moving from one place to another. You know, they're kind of losing their illegal migrant label. And I'm not saying it's just a label. I'm just using that word just for lack of a better term. So, well, so far, it's going to cost us, right? So the mayors are saying, this is going to cost you, Joe taxpayer, right? Because these guys just making it rain in Washington. Your mayors want $1.4 billion or $5 billion to house and care for illegal immigrants. They call them the migrants in this particular article here from The Hill. $1.4 billion or $5 billion to house and care for illegal immigrants, not the homeless or impoverished American citizens. Who would have known that all you had to do was cross the Red Sea of the U.S. southern border to be granted the benefits of U.S. citizenship? The question is, what do U.S. citizens have to do to get the attention, representation, and advocacy these legal aliens are getting? What do you got to do? What happened? And how did we get here? said a nice little article on Wikipedia, Mexico-U.S. state border crisis. In 2014, the U.S. declared a crisis at the border due to an influx of unaccompanied minors and women making their way through checkpoints. The U.S. southern border had long struggled with implementing policies that aim to prevent immigration, right, related tragedies, right? Migrant crisis explained. What's behind the border surge? NBC News. Officials emphasize that much of the migration is driven by transnational criminal organizations engaged in the big business of human trafficking. So the border issues began to increase in 1924, and it has always been an element of danger and crime involved. From Frontline, World Mexico Border Timeline, PBS. The U.S. Border Patrol began in 1924 as Prohibition. Can't sell liquor no more. Back in Al Capone days, Prohibition encouraged a brisk smuggling trade from Mexico into the U.S. So they made that hooch down in Mexico, brought it to the United States, right? Because they were smashing up their factories here, right? Surely, no criminals are crossing the U.S. border for sanctuary now. So what's the problem? And I'm not saying no criminals are or are not passing. I'm just being facetious. Anyway, from npg.org, immigration, they say immigration increases poverty in two ways. Increasing labor market, it lowers the wages for native-born workers, forcing more of them into poverty. So pay attention to that. They say immigration increases poverty in two ways. By increasing labor market competition, lowers wages for native-born workers, forcing more of them into poverty. And it said, B, the immigrants themselves are often poor. So that's dependency. But we got it. Making it rain, right? Biden is making it rain right now. That by populating the frontier, increasing the size of the market economy, and adding valuable skills and expertise to the native workforce, successive waves of foreign workers enhance the living standards of earlier immigrants as well as their U.S.-born children, they said. American cities became overcrowded. Physical capacity to absorb new arrivals eroded. Our physical capacity, and this is history, y'all, our physical capacity to absorb new arrivals eroded. Hence, I need $1.4 billion. I need $5 billion to handle these folks that you letting cross the border, right? Have no place to live, have no jobs, no medical care, no gold, diamonds, or nothing like that, right? No rich daddies, right? So here we go. Between 1890 and 1920, while America's industrial economy boomed, millions of the new jobs went to immigrants that poured in the country. That's what happened when that during that span right there, 1890 and 1920. They say that industry boomed, right? So what does that mean? I just had a conversation with a friend of mine about how people were just systematically fired for little or no reason and replaced with immigrants at that particular factory or plant or wherever they worked at, right? So plantation, whatever, you know. I thought that was interesting because that seemed to be what happened before. The men and women enrich our culture, but they also moved ahead of and often displaced native-born workers. The only way you can displace a worker is that he be fired from the job and you hired, right? Displaced. That's not him retiring or dying, right? That's him being forced off the job by the employer or not even let in the job because he's taking going to hire the immigrant. He's going to work for a lot cheaper money than you. Immigration became a zero-sum game, they said. The economic gains occurring to immigrants were more than set off by the losses suffered by the natives. Of course. Or why would you let somebody in your house and you lose? You don't gain from that. That doesn't make any sense. But it seems like this country, as strange as it may be, probably not even strange if we probably just looked at the country for what it is, what it does. You probably could really get a good look at what country you actually live in. But that's for another show. It's kind of like for this one. But immigration became a zero-sum game, right? In 1921, Congress responded with the first restrictions on immigration, limiting arrivals to 3% of the foreign-born population, okay? So it's not no more than 3% of the foreign-born population, right? That's a small amount of people. They're talking about foreign-born population, not the population. In 1924, immigration was cut again to 160,000 a year. By the late 1920s, it was down to 50,000 a year. So seems like back then, it was making sure that the country was not flooded with immigrants or people, right, that weren't from here, right? And for good reason, right? They said, as a quote, they said, we immediately realized that immigration is, in its fundamental aspects, a labor problem. Okay, so, wow. Didn't Dr. Claude Anderson warn us about this situation years ago, right? I'm talking black folks now. He warned us years ago. My friend stresses that it is not a good look moving the impoverished in the community of the impoverished. Let the games begin whether you want to play or not. The Hunger Games, that's the games I'm talking about, because that's where we're headed. We're headed down this path where we're being set against each other. And 2023 is just not a good time to have clashes. Since about 2014, folks have been increasingly flooding the southern U.S. border, fleeing crime and corruption in this country to crime and corruption in the U.S. So, be real rough across the border. Apparently, there is a problem across the border that has flowed across the U.S. border. I would hope that U.S. interest groups, corporations, and individuals have nothing to do with the chaos and devastation these immigrants are experiencing in their country. I'm not going to hold my breath for that. It seems like a noble act to give refuge to those in need. The question is not a question of nobility, but one of responsibility, accountability, safety, and economics. But if what happened in 1924 is indicative of what is happening today, the catalyst for the problem could be on both sides of the border. We know the problem. From npg.org, they say immigration increases poverty in two ways, as I just said. Increasing labor market competition, it lowers wages for native-born workers, forcing more of them into poverty. The immigrants themselves are poor. National Homeless Facts and Statistics, 2023. Globally, 1.6 billion people living in inadequate housing conditions. In America, 582,462 individuals are experiencing homelessness, an increase of about 2,000 people since the last census, right, in 2020. So whatever degenerate problem the U.S. has, those problems appear to be more acceptable or endurable than the condition across the southern border and abroad. What is the responsibility of the U.S. government and to whom? Because I'm a little confused. Then again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen, right? So, are they saviors, heroes, or manipulators? What are they? What is the U.S. government in this whole scenario? What is the angle here? What are they doing? Are they trying to save these people? At least now we can see that government has the finances to better support its citizens in need. We now see that because we got folks asking for billions of dollars for folks that aren't even legally here. Came on across, they're not here legally. So all that talk about we don't have money for housing, we won't have money to help you pay your bills, your utility bills, people getting in all these situations where people want to snatch their kids from them because they don't have heat in their house or the house is in a dilapidated condition, not safe for the kid, we're going to remove your kid from the house. Here it is, the United States government has money that folks can ask for or advocating for right now as we speak for folks that aren't even citizens. Somebody help me. Help me with this picture. Help me understand this movie because it seems to be turning into a horror movie. A horrible, horror movie. What say you of a government that does not provide for its own house? What if that government does not consider its citizens as members of its house? Think about that question before you try to answer it. What if you are not a member of the same house? You are a member of the little house, the shack. You know, the White House, the shack, the White House, the big White House. A little shack with a dirt floor, are a subject to submit to the will of government, and government is a tool to subdue you. That's what government is. But if government is a tool to subdue you and not an entity made by you for you, well, I think the average Joe can answer that question about government being made by you for you. I know I haven't made not one decision in government. Voting is not making a decision in government. Voting is making a decision about a person who's going to make a decision in government. Just so you know, I think we should be clear about that, you know. Ask yourself, what laws have you passed in the interest of your survival? What about the survival of your fellow citizens? I'm sure there's somebody out there that's passed some laws. Anyone? What about passing laws regarding non-citizens? Anybody out there? Anybody ask the federal government for $1 million, maybe $5 billion to help out U.S. citizens? If government has the responsibility to ensure the survival of its citizens, you would think that the needs of the citizens would supersede the needs of non-citizens, particularly illegal aliens. Think again. The U.S. cannot solve the problems of other nations because they have not solved the problems of their own nation. And I'm not ruling out that they may be the problem of the other nations. Because I didn't go that far into it. But I know some things are happening. And I might have to cover that on a show. Maybe their plan is to rule or maintain order through chaos. That is evil genius. Deadly one. From budgethouse.gov, Biden's budget, a future that's built on government dependence. In the fiscal year 2022, the federal government spent $1.19 trillion on more than 80 different welfare programs. That represents almost 20% of the total federal spending, a quarter of tax revenues in 2022, or $9,000 spent per American household. That's a hell of a number right there right now. Normally, that would be just a part of the equation. But it's odd, as you see, how odd that is. The Epoch Times says, Chicago's illegal immigrants are now eligible to receive up to, what? $9,000 in rental assistance. Under the new state-run program, which includes money to help furnish their new living quarters, as the homeless population of Americans living on the streets continues to soar, as the homeless population of Americans living on the streets continues to soar. Do I need to say that again? As the homeless population of Americans living on the streets continue to soar, right? Chicago's illegal immigrants are now eligible to receive up to $9,000 in rental assistance. As I said, from Budget House. The fiscal year 2022, the federal government spent $1.19 trillion on more than 80 different welfare programs. That represents almost 20% of the total federal spending and a quarter of tax revenues from 2022, or $9,000 spent per American household. Did anybody catch that? Jump back down here to Epoch Times, the Chicago's illegal immigrants are now eligible to receive up to $9,000 in rental assistance. Chicago has a homeless population. As my friend said, no, they have a homeless crisis. We just had a conversation on the phone about this. No. They have more people coming in than transitioning out of the shelters. Their children are enrolling in Chicago schools of the immigrant, right? Children are enrolled. And kids in education, you know, they're here. They need to be productive, become productive citizens. Get all of that. Chicago has a coalition for the homeless, and they are flooding Chicago with homeless illegal aliens and giving them the support. The Chicago Coalition for the Homeless advocates for the Chicago homeless. Whoa. Did Biden say if you're not black, if you don't vote for him? Whoa. Well, he can't use that slogan. He shouldn't have used it in the first place. But if this is what it's like to be black and voting for Biden, I'm just gonna give everybody black some advice. Take the axe out of your back. Remember who put it there. All right, Biden Harris, right? So you still want these guys in office next term. If you get another axe in your back or a sword or a chainsaw, you deserve it. What a contradiction. Guess the Chicago homeless should be grateful that they are not homeless in some third world country. Yeah, that's it. That's it. They ought to keep them warm during the harsh winters in Chicago. This could be worse. I could be in Venezuela. A news report stated that 4,000 immigrants are sleeping on the floors at the police station and the airport in Chicago. Black folks Don't you dare try that. Even some of you poor white folks, don't try that. The Biden administration is spreading the love, transforming all states into border refuge states. From our county.gov, new public health report shows sharp rise in mortality. They said the mortality rate, which accounts for the total number of people experiencing homelessness each year, increased by 55% from 2,056 per 100,000 in 2019 to 3,183 per 100,000 in 2021. The most recent years of data analyzed in this report, in 2019, 1,289 people experienced homelessness died. They say older middle-aged homeless dying at higher rates. This is from universityofpenn.edu. Overall, the average life expectancy of homeless people is 42 to 52. If assistance isn't available until someone reaches age 65 years old, then he or she may be dead by then. I guess so. 42, 50. Look, I'm just my question is, hey, we got problems here, and I don't see the same type of advocacy to address these problems, these problems that we have on the home front, as I see with this, as they say, influx of immigrants, they call them. Illegal aliens, they are. And I get it. You know, if my house is on fire, I'm going to run to a house that's not on fire. I get that. But Houston, and I don't mean that's not a pun. It is a pun. But Houston, we have a problem. And Houston has a problem, right? Because they're right down there. They had to come through Houston of that area down in Texas. But Houston, we do have a problem. And so that has never been a better fitting statement. Houston, we have a problem. Anyway, USFacts.org. How many homeless people are in the U.S.? What does the data miss? Okay, say the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, counted around 582,000 Americans experiencing homelessness in 2022. That's about 18 per 10,000 people in the U.S., up to about 2,000 people from 2020. So these 582,000 Americans are probably thinking, too, hey, I'm going to pass on the house. Give it to somebody crossing the border illegally. They must be thinking that. Or their representatives are thinking, he don't need a house. He's all right sleeping on the curb. Security.org says, in December 2022, HUD calculated 582,462 people that were experiencing homelessness in the United States and its territories, represented an increase of totally 2,000 individuals. So we got different percentages, about the same thing. The numbers are different sometimes, but we're not going to cry about numbers. You can see it's 500,000, I mean, 500,082, 462, and they included some territory. We ain't crying about these little number things. This is not the numbers game we're playing, the exact number game that we're playing here. The fact is that we have a large homeless population here in the U.S. So I don't know what we're supposed to be representing here in the United States on paper or in the media, but we don't represent a country who's taking care of their poorest and most vulnerable populations. We're not representing that. We don't take very well care of that, because this is easy. Because if you have money for illegal aliens, you definitely have or should have money, right, for your citizens, the taxpayers, the guys whose sons and daughters go to war for this country, whose fathers have and grandfathers have went to war for this country, whose fathers, grandfathers, sons and daughters have helped build this country. You should have money for them. Homeless population by state, 2023. From wisevoter.com. Pennsylvania has the eighth largest homeless population with 13,375 people experiencing homelessness. Well, they don't need shelter. They can wait until the folks cross the border and we put them in nice hotels and places to live, and this homeless population can rest wherever they've been resting their head. They survived this long. They can hang on a little longer until we get to them. That sounds like what they're saying. So, not to mention those who would love to use their tax dollars to put a roof over their head, who are shacking up with friends and family. I mean, since it is alleged to be their tax dollars and government by the people, for the people, it would be logical to think that before people provide shelter for illegal anybody, they would have first taken care of their own homeless population. U.S. spends millions of dollars on illegal aliens, food and shelter, and yet citizens are in need and are deprived of food and shelter. The elderly are in need of food and shelter in the form of housing and housing assistance to maintain their properties. As you get old, you may not have enough money to retire. You may not have enough money to maintain your property. You have just enough money to live. We shouldn't have no problem with that. No elderly person should have lose their house because they don't have money. Because I'm just finding out these guys got money that they give away the time. They just don't want to give it to you. But you know, people lose everything they have after retirement in order to get some help. You can't have this. You can't have that. Can't have X amount of money in the bank. You got to be broke. You got to be devastated to get some help. Almost devastated. Really? Supportive services in a home and home, like a home health aid or a case manager services and things like that for the elderly. They need help. We need to take care of our own. We said, I'm not saying it's we shouldn't help other people, but you should lead by example. If you are a helper, a true helper helps their own. That's what a true helper looks like. A manipulator helps other people and neglects his own because there is some benefit. There is something else in the pot stirring. So you got to be careful when you see people neglecting their home base or build up a different base. They're going to neglect their children and go to somebody else's child. What parent does that? What decent government, by the people, for the people, would be doing that? There's no such government. From PBS.org, as baby boomers age into senior citizens, a series of recessions and a lack of a strong social safety net have pushed more and more elderly people into homelessness. They say you can tell a lot about a country, a nation, by how they treat their most vulnerable population. They said it's a number that's only expected to rise. So they're saying don't look like things are going to get any better. Nobody's looking out for the cookout, all these people who, the elderly, this country survived on, right? Because you use youth, right? Use people in their youth, the strength and of their youth to build. But everybody ages at some point, maybe not the same way, going to, you know, get there. So you just can't treat these people like trash. Just get you some new folks. Let them go somewhere and die, sit in a chair in the house, starve to death, you know, die because they don't have medical care or someone there to help them navigate through the medical care system or whatever needy thing that they need while you advocate for folks who are not American citizens. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying you should take care of your house. How you can imagine a guy coming to help you, right? He's spends all his money, but he's going to help you save yours. How's that work? You know, not take his own household, right? He's going to help you take care of your household by helping you save your money. This guy is spends his money frivolously and did not take care of his own people. Or he had a pocket full of money and his house is ran down. Kids is wearing sneakers, 4 years old, toes hanging out the front of him. You know, that guy. Is that the guy you want to help you, or do you want that guy that's a genuine helper to help you? Something's wrong with this picture. We have a country that's given the trying to give the appearance of being a helper. At the same time, they give the appearance of being a neglector, a manipulator. Among unhousehold single adults without children, the percentage older than 50 had increased from 11% in 1990 to around 37% in 2003. That's a homeless population. That's an American citizen homeless population just doing one thing, and it's not a secret, growing. The vast majority of homeless adults are white, but when weighted for demographics, people of color, of course, are disproportionately represented among unhoused populations. Well, people of color, sure, it's just one race they seem to be always in the front of, and it's disaster, death, any categories of death, dying, homelessness, just all this incarceration, you know, just every stumbling block you can stumble over. It seems like we're either one or two. And being affected by it. Not that everyone isn't, but black folks is leading a lot of categories. Like, it's not good. It's not a good look, y'all. According to the 2022 State Homeless Report by the National Alliance to End Homelessness, although 18 out of every 10,000 Americans are homeless, that number jumped to 52 for blacks, 45 for Native Americans, and a whopping 109 for Pacific Islanders. Woo! Well, finally, we got somebody to beat us in a race. The Pacific Islanders. Not a good look, but hey, this is a race we don't want to be number one. We don't even want to be one, two, or three. But hey, the Pacific Islanders, they beat the blacks in this homeless category. The ballooning population of older homeless people is composed largely of younger baby boomers who endured the recessions of the late 70s and the early 80s, as well as the Great Recession of 2008. In 1983, young black men in their 20s had an unemployment rate of nearly 25%. I don't know what's happening in the 80s, right? I don't know how people made money in the 80s, right? They noted that 2019 report on rising elderly homelessness. The same report indicated that in New York City, Los Angeles County, and Boston, the population of homeless people older than 65 will likely triple by 2030. So I'm trying to wrap my head around this with all these reports. Why is it a good idea to flood the country with illegal immigrants, any kind of immigrants? Why is that a good idea? When you anticipate, and boy, I hear it's expensive to live in Boston. I didn't know that. I had a friend who was in Boston, and he said it was expensive up there. But the homeless population, older than 65, will likely triple in 2030. That's around the corner. There's no single reason for the rise in the older homeless population. Now, anybody listening to this here who don't think that the issues, the problem, the suffering of the elderly is not your problem because you're not elderly, you are living in a delusion. Because I guarantee you, if you're fortunate enough to live, you will live to be elderly, and you will be counted amongst this number of the elderly. They said there's no single reason for the rise in the older homeless population. No single reason. Weak looking out, right? It's your government not looking out for you, right? Mass incarceration politics and an insufficient supply of affordable housing. Wait a minute. We don't have an insufficient supply of affordable housing because we have an open door policy. We don't even have a revolving door at the southern border. We have no door at all. So we must have affordable housing. Why would you let so many people into the country if you know you don't have affordable housing? I don't know. Are they snorting coke in Washington now? Like the synthetic one? What's going on? 50 years ago, indigent people often lived in low-income housing, they said. But that housing might have often been unsafe, unclean, but they were still homes with walls and a roof, right? But beginning in the 80s, with rising unemployment and deepening recession and a shift away from the affordable housing. So the 80s came. Then came the unemployment. They ain't mentioned drugs. I don't know why they ain't mentioned drugs on here. Because, man, they mentioned that white rock that fell on the black community. Anyway. In the beginning, in the 1980s, with the rising unemployment and deepening recession and a shift away from the construction of affordable housing. Now, a shift away from the construction of affordable housing is like, that's a nice way of saying, I'm going to create homelessness and put you ninjas on the street, poor folks on the street. Not even making an affordable house, not going to make something you can afford. The hell with it. They shift away from that. Many low-income people, often black and Hispanic, started to drift into homelessness. So that's your government. That's your representatives. That's your people who are advocating for you. Sounds like black and Hispanic and poor white people, probably you're not valued because there's a shift away from construction of affordable housing. That's for anybody that's poor, right? But you know who gets hit the hardest, right? Urban renewal revitalized downtowns that once housed many of the area's poor people. It's gentrification, right? And the nation's supply of affordable houses dwindle. Why would I build a house that you're going to live in for $20 a month, $100 a month, when I have the ability to take this property, this land, and make $100,000 a month. Why would I do that? Pay me. I'll make it work for you. I'll get you the land you want. We'll do what we have to do. My pocket to get fat. Your pocket to get fat. Those folks that have to get the out of the area. You got to go. So, you can see that happening in Philadelphia right now. Gentrification slowly but surely happening. And if they don't start building affordable houses, just where are the people supposed to live? That's an excellent question. You know, because they build houses, only certain people can come back. Only a certain number of people are going to come back. So just where are these folks supposed to go? Anyway, make it make sense. Adding more homeless people to the homeless equation in the U.S. Urban renewal revitalized downtowns that once housed many of the area's poor people, and the nation's supply of affordable housing dwindled. That is homeless by design. The same government that appears to have neglected to aggressively house the homeless population in the 1980s apparently refuses to do so in 2023, while placing Americans at risk to aggressively house the illegal aliens at record numbers. I don't get it. This is too obvious to even be for I don't know. Seems like we should be in the streets protesting. Or, oh no, Kenny don't like protesting. He says, oh, the marching never really got anything solved. So maybe we, protesting ain't the way to handle it. I'm going to take that back. But seems like we should be trying to do something about this shit. Something is wrong with this picture. And because these people are going out way out of their way. They're risking their political careers. Or if the vote counts, they're risking their political careers. That's almost like saying the vote don't really count anyway. They don't even worry about a vote. Because they wouldn't do that if the vote counted. I heard all of this is because they don't want to pay Americans a living wage or for votes. That's one of the things. I'm just throwing things out that I heard. Everything I say is not from me, but, you know, I'm trying to cover as many bases as I can. If you still think you have power over government or the entities controlling government, may I suggest again that you think again, and by think, I mean think again. Use your head. It is funny how the U.S. has money for Israel. That's a sovereign nation from usfacts.org. So for you guys, and this is where we need to be more involved in what the government does at home and abroad. Because if you start trying to take control over things, we might have a better chance. I don't know. We might be so far gone that nothing beats a failure but a try. Nothing beats a failure but a try. So what we have to do is start being more involved in what's going on. What are these folks doing? Send somebody to Washington that stands for something. Stop sending these people on spaghetti legs anywhere. They can't represent you. And you might die doing it, standing up for something. Historically, that has always happened in this country. People who stood up for something end up dead. Right? The United States committed over $3.3 billion in foreign assistance to Israel in 2022. Now, how many people knew that? Because you got to be asking yourself, I need a house. I need a job. I can't pay my bills. I want to lose my house. They may turn my utilities off. And they're giving $3.3 billion in foreign assistance to Israel. the most recent year for which data, for the most recent year, the data is about 8.8 million of that went toward the country's economy. 8.8 million people. Tell me, anybody out there could use any portion of 8.8 million? Anybody? Got any takers? While 99.7% of the aid went to the Israeli military. Okay. That's where the plot thickens. It's going on. 3.3 billion, 99.7% to the military. Israel received the second largest amount of U.S. aid in 2022 after who else? I know you can guess this one. Ukraine. Where the U.S. committed $12.4 billion. Let me ask this question. Anybody out there listening think they could use any part or just maybe some guy that's standing on a corner begging for food or some lady who's has no heat in her house, the children still on electricity from the back, trying to keep warm, trying to keep some light on in the house. You'd think that any of these Americans could possibly use any portion of that $12.4 billion. I just want to know because it seems like Americans don't need it. They don't need $12.4 billion. Make it rain in Israel. Make it rain in the Ukraine. The two countries received 4.8% and 18.1% respectively of all foreign aid granted for the year. Somebody help me with this, because this is really ridiculous. This is crazy. Adjusting for inflation, U.S. aid to Israel from 1951 to 1922. From 1951, y'all, to 1922 total, $317.9 billion. So that means anybody, any citizen here, we had a problem, any kind of financial problem, and you lost something because you didn't have the money, you can almost look at your government and say, hey, you didn't help, you didn't provide any assistance to me at all. Because you had, from 1951 to 2000, $317 billion to Israel. Money folks here could have used. And it seems like a pattern to me, these so-called, what do you call these guys? Because can't be representatives. They, you know, the House and the Congress, and I don't know. I'm just seeing these guys through different eyes. I always did anyway, but you know what I mean. You got to look at them for what they do, not for who they say they are. If somebody says police, doesn't mean doesn't make him a good guy. That's what I'm saying. You understand? Because doctor's uniform on doesn't mean he knows what he's doing or even cares, right? So we got to look at what people do and not what they say they're going to do, not who they say they are, or not what you think they are. Look and see what they actually do. And that's the only way we're going to know that is to start doing our own research, doing our own homework. Know where you are. So by now, anybody listening to this show know that this country has the money to take care of you. If you're impoverished, you don't really have to be impoverished because these jokers got the money to make sure that you at least got a roof over your head, warm and eaten, and have some clothes on your back. They had that. Between 1946 and 1922, the U.S. has granted an annual average of $49.5 billion and inflation-adjusted foreign aid, $49.5 billion in inflation-adjusted foreign aid. They adjusted for inflation, the foreign aid, to countries and organizations worldwide. They adjust the money. Did y'all hear that? How much economic aid does the U.S. give Israel? Between 1951 and 1922, Israel has received $92.7 billion in U.S. economic aid adjusted for inflation, adjusted for inflation, adjusted for inflation. approximately 29% of its aid from all sources. Is it me? Maybe I'm just jealous. And my people came up in here, they didn't sweat and bled and did all kinds of stuff to survive, ate all kinds of stuff to survive in this country, rolled in the bus, getting lynched, kicked in the behind, called boy when you're 80 years old, killing our kids, dragging them out of houses and killing them. Then it like be like now we killing ourselves for some strange reason. Man, I'm just an angry black man. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But is anybody safe? Did something wrong with this picture? From the Jewish Virtual Library.org. Military aid. They're going to this whole thing about all this. I watch my time. I'm not even going to have time to get through some of this stuff. Military aid, 1959 to 1973. 1974 to 1984. Loans and grants. 1984 to present grants. So they started off military aid, 1959 to 1973, loans. So we're going to loan y'all some money. Now, I like that because you got to pay that back with interest. All right, we're going to loan y'all some money. Then all of a sudden, something happened. 1974 to 1984, loans and grants. Uh-oh. Then by 1984, just giving away money, making it rain in Israel. Ain't nobody making it rain over here for us. We wouldn't have a homeless population. Only people be on the street was the person who actually did not want to live in a home. They want to live on the street. And some people like that have mental health problems. I get it. But for the most part, if you're making it rain in Israel, why are you not making it rain in your own country? Told Israel, y'all ain't got to pay this back. All right? You went from, here, pay it back, to, you ain't got to pay it back. What happened? Got your government. See who's in government. Who's doing what? Who's paying who? Who's hanging out with who? Who's sipping on gin and juice? With who on what yacht? Under what palm tree, on what beach, in what dark room, in what boardroom. Anyway, they said it includes a $1.92 billion in regular military assistance and $1.2 billion in implementation of the WYE agreement. It includes a $1 billion appropriated $1 billion appropriated in March 2022 for replenishing interceptors for the Iron Dome. This supplemental funding goes through FY 2024. Something is going on in Israel. This is a strategic military spot. And just who the hell is the United States planning on waging war against? Land of the free, home of the brave. You can't be waging war, folks, if you represent land of the free, home of the brave. Now it's land of the refugee, right? Anyway, loans guarantees are not considered foreign aid. So the $7.9 billion in guarantees have been excluded from this equation. So inflated, adjusted, for foreign aid. That sounds so weird. We dealing with inflation over here now. Loaf of bread, even though you shouldn't need it, cost a whole lot of money. Pay a lot of money to eat that white bread. That should be adjusted aid for citizens of the U.S. As usual, how much money the U.S. gives Israel depends on who you ask. As you can see, the numbers are different. The point is, money that could be put to good use in the good old USA is being designated for a sovereign nation. And the U.S. can't, will not, or refuse to prioritize housing and care for its own homeless or impoverished or struggling citizens. We still have this problem, and it is on a trajectory of getting worse. Still, the U.S. has about $49.5 billion to give to non-citizens or entities in foreign nations. I know I'm not the only one thinking something is egregiously wrong with this picture. Excluding money provided because it is not considered foreign aid is ridiculous. We don't care what you call the money. The point is that the U.S. gives Israel the money, so it shouldn't be excluded from the conversation. If Uncle Sam was truly our uncle, he would have been arrested for neglect, misappropriation of funds, misuse of power, derelict of duty, conspiracy, and stupidity. What's lower than an infidel? Well, whatever that is, our uncle has become it. Maybe he has always been it. Maybe our uncle is their uncle. Whatever the case, Uncle Sam needs to provide for his own house first. A YouTuber alleged that they plan to construct a larger two-way canal because it takes 6 hours to travel down the Suez Canal. And you can only travel one way. And the new canal happens to be designed to cut right through Gaza. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Because that was, you know, got a little text saying, don't go by what you see on YouTube and social media and stuff like that. I say, it's information. Do your own research. Because if you didn't go by what you see on what you hear, you can't go by what you see in the history books. You got to check out your history books, how they describe slavery and the United States government and how things happen here. It's nothing. It doesn't really describe what actually happened. And then we have this thing called these holidays. But they aren't real. The Easter Bunny. You got Santa Claus. Who else you got? What are the holidays? They got all these phony holidays. So listen, do your own research on anything you come in contact with, comes in contact with you. I try to understand it. What it is that you're looking at, dealing with, listening to, feeling. That's what you need to do. That's a constant thing. You do that, hopefully, without thinking. But in order to do the research, you got to put a little effort to it. But we are always assessing things that come before us, hopefully. Maybe I'm applying that to too many people, but you should. From Fox News, illegal immigration now costs taxpayers $151 billion a year. That's from Fox News. That could be a lie. From theheritage.org, as record numbers of illegal aliens continue to flood across our southern border, they are being dispersed into every congressional district in the county, making every state a border state. Border as in Texas type of thing, right? Houston, we have a problem, right? I guess the people in Houston are saying, Houston, we have a problem. We're told they're merely coming to seek a better life. And while that's probably true, right, they say, why do open door borders ignore the enormous toll on Americans that comes in the form of higher taxes, overloaded emergency rooms, increased crime in their communities, and overcrowded classrooms for their children? That's an excellent question. There's some answer to that. Somewhere, anybody have an answer to that? Anybody out there listening have an answer to why did the open door border advocates ignore the enormous toll on Americans? Annually, illegal immigration now costs taxpayers billions of dollars a year. Guess that's a lie, too. In states far away from the southern border, like Illinois, the cost was $4.59 billion in 2022. That's $930 per household every year. The far-reaching effects of the influx through our southern border are clear. Our communities bear the cost of illegal immigration caused by the Biden administration's anti-enforcement and open border policies. Border communities have long been overwhelmed under these policies. Woo! That means Houston does have a problem, right? The crisis now costs California $21.76 billion and Texas $8.88 billion. Annually in education, healthcare, law enforcement, and criminal justice system costs, welfare expenditures, and more. Border states are often the subject of shocking reports of epidemics of violent attacks, taxpayers footing the bill for illegal aliens' health care costs and increased property destruction. What's happening here? That's how you seek a better life. The sheer number already in the interior of the U.S., an estimated 15.5 million in 2021 illegal aliens, right? Let's consider a few examples of specific ever-increasing costs to the communities and states all across the nation. They said at the rate of $65,116 per alien, New York City Mayor Eric Adams estimates his city will need to spend $2.8 billion in the next fiscal year to deal with the rapid influx. They're advocating to, again, a lot. I guess that's in the terms of this. They say, hey, we can't handle these people. We need money to handle them. So we need more money, more money, more money, more money. But you don't see that kind of advocacy for the people that's already been there, and they're citizens, and they didn't get there illegally. You don't see that kind of advocacy. You don't. In 2023, New Jersey will spend $15 million just to provide health care benefits to illegal alien children. As of September 2022, Operation Lone Star, a statewide effort by Texas, Houston, we have a problem, to decrease illegal crossing and crack down on human and drug trafficking, had cost Texas over $4 billion. The average amount, $2.5 million per week. I'm just saying, is there any homeless, poor, impoverished, shacking up in a three-family home, overcrowded three-family home person in the United States that could use any of this money? Because your politicians, your so-called representatives don't think so. In March 2022, Oregon passed legislation establishing the Universal Representation Fund, providing $15 million in free legal services and representation for illegal aliens, primarily those facing deportation. So this thing is turning into a money pit for the U.S. Taxpayer and a money grabber for the providers of the free $15 million legal services. Even beyond the economic costs, there are sobering human costs associated with the heightened crime levels. After being on the decline for years, because of President Joe Biden's open border policy, crimes committed by illegal aliens have skyrocketed over the past 2 years in virtually every category, including homicide, manslaughter, robbery, theft, sexual offenses, weapons and drug trafficking. And look, I am running out of time. I don't even have enough time to even cover this really. So that is why they didn't want these folks in Martha's Vineyard or next to Biden or Harris and the rest of the administration's home. Let's put them in places like Chicago where they are already devastated by homicide, manslaughter, robbery, theft, sexual offenses, weapons and drug trafficking. Yeah, that's a good match. Especially if you want to start a fire. I wonder, what percent of the black vote Biden will get next election? Seems clear now that if you vote for Biden, you ain't black. I wonder if Biden supporters are starting to feel the Biden butcher knife in their back. I wonder if Americans are tired of politicians making decisions that are not in their best interest, that cost them on many levels of their existence. It makes me wonder, why even vote for these guys who are going to do just what they want to do or what they are told to do, and why? And when I say do what they are told to do, I don't mean told to do by you taxpaying citizens at the voting poll, citizens. How long are citizens going to continue to take it in the rear. How long, y'all? How long y'all going to take this? How long we going to take it? I'm going to end it on that note, but I'm running out of time. I need to thank everybody for calling in, listening, downloading the show. Sorry for the inconvenience in the beginning. It wasn't my fault, but I take full responsibility because it's my show. But we need to start paying attention to these folks, and we need to start raising up people who are not afraid to stand for something. All right, all that, if you're afraid, and we need to back them up. Don't just sit them somewhere and they just feel like they just out on a limb. We need to be responsible, be worth this person's time. That person needs to be worth our time. So I just want to say, again, I want to thank Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank We Talk Productions. And I want to thank, as usual, my man Kenny Jones. He's not with us anymore. I'm very thankful that he got me, you know, doing the shows. And speaking, because I'm really not an orator, but just trying to get a message out here, trying to spark people. Maybe someone will come forth. Maybe many will come forth. I don't know. I want to thank the Creator, my people, my downloaders, my listeners. Until next time, y'all. Each one, reach one, each one, teach one. Do your own homework. You don't have to believe anything I'm saying. You don't have to believe everything on social media, but you do need to look at what is going on. Try to find something out that's happening that's real. Till next week, y'all. Each one, reach one. Each one, teach one. Good night.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Mm-hmm.